Beyond it was the original meeting hall of the Council of Five. It was there, in this place, that decisions were taken during the Orion Wars. The echo of our steps resonated on the old dark grey tiles, as we entered. It was even darker in this room, but I understood why. The meetings held in here were holographic, so it made sense. The settings were similar to the meeting room I saw on our day in a TMS battle station, excepted that it looked much more ancient and of a Baroque alien type of architecture. I couldn't TMT see the background of the room in the darkness. The central module was barely lit by thin rays piercing through the high ceiling. There was a large elaborately sculpted column, and in front of it a metallic disc on the ground, cut in segments like a pie. Just like the annular table in the meeting room of our day in a TMS ship. Inside of the disc, at the outer border of each segment, were 9 empty seats on circular golden platforms, meant to receive the holograms of the counselors when a meeting was held. I remembered the 2 times when I contacted Anax, and he was once on his ship and once on Daria's, sat in this holographic chair embedded with rows of crystals, illuminated by a blinding light. He told me at the time that he was in a holographic meeting with his council. Anax and I walking through the corridors of the AO meeting castle of Zagaro Alnilam. There are 9 segments, I noticed. Yes, since the council was created, and there will always be, answered Anax. One day maybe we will recover the glorious number again. That a TMS it, I said as I noticed the triangular emblem on the central patch of the disc. This triangle with the additive corners, it represents the number 9, Dosna TMT it. You remember well, my child. You remember well. The first meeting hall of the Council of 9, now 5, dating back to the time of the Orion Wars. On our way back from Zygara, we made a detour by Daria's Mesa, where Anax lives, and I had the opportunity to meet his consort, Shay. She is an affectionate and welcoming person, radiant with kindness and love. I was only allowed to portray her but not to give any detail about their ways of living. Agaraths are very private people. Shay, Anax a TMS consort. The High Council of the Galactic Federation of Worlds May 17, 2022 regarding the increasing work of the Dark to coerce humanity into welcoming the grey hybrids on our planet, something needed to be done. I was worried that a sufficient number of gullible people would wait in the balance to welcome back the greys throughout their hybrids. Their emissaries were pushing this agenda on people via social media, coercing them by using the same old stories, and pushing it so far that people were asked to draw grey aliens on their windows and stare at the sky praying that a grey ship would come. Seriously. On May 17, 2022, Thorhan contacted me, saying that I needed to get ready, as I would be picked up to attend a holographic session in front of the High Council of the Galactic Federation of Worlds. How did you get to? Oh, this Dosna TMT come from me, Thorhan said. Ah, Diana? No. The request was placed by Commander Valthor. Valthor? He is a member of the Lower Council, and only a member of the Lower Council can introduce a civilian to the High Council. You are an emissary, so you also represent Terra. Be ready within the 2 next hours. Dress up warmly. I knew that a holographic meeting meant that everyone would attend from distance, as a holographic projection. I didn't TMT know yet from where I would be projected to attend, so I just relaxed and prepared myself psychologically, until the statics rose my hair on my skin with a buzz in my ears. I laid comfortably in my armchair, and felt my body dematerialize and recondense straight away in another place. I found myself standing in a huge bright hall with beams of silver light dancing in front of my eyes, like a sparkly curtain. The temperature was a bit cold and I recalled the words from Thorhan. I was glad that I had followed his advice. The silhouette of a tall man was on my right. He motioned his hand towards me and I grabbed it. As my vision adjusted to the bright luminosity, I recognized Valthor, in a long white tunic held by a large golden belt. He also wore a white scarf. He smiled at me and welcomed me. This time, and for the first time since my meetings with him, he addressed me only by telepathy. I asked him where we were, and he answered. On a ship, in the antechamber of one of the multiple meeting halls. Where is this ship? In a time dilation sphere. I understood that I needed not to ask more, for my own safety. As we were conversing, we walked on a footbridge that led to a vast, huge circular hall with transparent walls through which we could see space. There was a circular round of pillars in the center, and in the middle of them I saw a holographic pad, similar to those in the other meeting room I had visited, but more complex. There were luminescent lines and symbols drawn on the floor. The ceiling was a huge dome, and above the holographic pad was a complex cluster of crystals. There were no physical seats in this place. I was still holding Valthor TMS hand, a bit nervous. We were both there physically, but the council members would attend as holographic projections from wherever they were. And so it started. I took a deep breath which made me dizzy for a few seconds. That was when I realized that the atmosphere must have been slightly different than that on Earth. The holographic projection of a tall majestic being appeared on our left, at the edge of the holographic pad, while some luminescent patterns lit up brightly on the pad underneath him. I felt that it was like an anchor for the connection. The being was sat in a seat similar to the one that Anax uses to attend the Council of Five meetings, and what left me a powerful imprint of grandeur was the fact that the projection was bigger than nature. This being wasn't a TMT human and resembled to a very old Tendrai. Trappist 1 system in Aquarius. Ambassador Valthor introduces me to the projection hall of the High Council of the Galactic Federation of Worlds. One after the other. 24 other beings appeared at the circumference of the circle, within the perimeter of the pad. Each time, symbols were lighting up brightly under them. Their holographic projections were all oversized, giving the impression of being in the presence of magnificent, glistening giants on their thrones. An intense emotion brought tears to my eyes. My heart was shivering, my soul was energized. I was there, in this place, with beings of different galactic races representing different galactic sectors. I recognized some of them such as Rimei, Capella, O-Ori, Boots, Kurundi, Nor-Or, humanoid races among which Ahil, Amites, Centaurians and Hyadians, Imathere, Cetus, Matrax, Delphinus, Osman, Lyra, Pugsati, Lyra, Carrey, Orion, Akart, Sextans, and other I didn't TMT have the opportunity to identify but who look nonetheless familiar. A telepathic exchange seemed to happen between Valthor and the collective. Then he let go of my hand, motioning me to walk to the center of the circle. The air was thinner so I needed to breathe more calmly. The first being who had appeared, the old Tengrai, addressed me with a loud and firm voice, "Ao speak. A." I was suddenly energized, and I stepped forward into the center, into my true role. I came to Terra for these special moments. My voice was grounded and my words sharp and clear. I spoke out loud and they answered to me back via telepathy. "I am Emissary Danon, presenting here in front of the High Council of the Galactic Federation of Worlds, on behalf of the people of Terra whom I stand for. I also mentioned a Pleiadian title of nobility that I hold but wish not to disclose here, and gave as well my original Altian name." As I spoke so, an aura of sparkling light ignited around me, a higher frequency field activated by the sound of my original name. "Present your request," said a majestic Osman female member. I respectfully performed the salute of the Galactic Federation of Worlds, a hand on my heart and bowing my head slightly. Then, I raised my chin and spoke, with confidence. "F holographic meeting session of the GFW High Council members. The Terran people are being fooled by the Nebu emissaries," I claimed loud and clear, "who are programmed to gather the consent of the people of Terra to welcome the Nebu hybrids among them. The agenda increases and the deception is fooling more and more people. They are told that the Nebu hybrids who were bred in order to replace the Terrans must be welcomed on this planet because they are gentle and kind, and coming from the future. These are all lies, and people draw pictures of greys on their windows, and pray the skies that their ships come back. I come here requesting help and clarity. I wish to know what are your plans and what are you expecting from me. We are very well aware of this agenda, said a Pugsity being with long red hair. The Nepu mass produced their hybrids in the hope to replace humans on Terra. The unique key to finalize their agenda for the colonization of this planet is to gain the consent of the population, having culled as much as they can by enticing them to poison themselves of their free will. The remnant of the population was to be assimilated with Nepu technology connecting them to the Kaaba Queen of the Nepu Hive. These plans of theirs have been terminated, and now they still try to infiltrate their hybrids that carry Nepu Hive consciousness. Be assured, emissary, that this will not see completion. We are not letting this happening, said a blue-skinned Ouri in a magnificent embroidered mantle. What if a certain number of people become enough to tilt the balance? I asked. This is not possible, replied Akare, because they have no weight. How can consent have no weight? I asked, perplexed. The Osman lady, who presided over the assembly, leaned forward and raised a hand, palm open upward, above which appeared a complex white and blue holographic sphere. From where I stood, I could see that it contained complex symbols and data. I recognized by instinct that this was a copy of the Prime Directive, as it really looks as a holographic document. The Tengrai Herald at the GFW High Councilor TMS session. The Osman High Councilor holding the Prime Directive. A section of the Prime Directive, she said, is in the process of being amended. It will include a clause stipulating that the free will of a species at Stage 1 or Stage 2 is recognized by the greater universal law, only if not influenced by an outside threatening source forcing and influencing free will to benefit their own agenda, at the detriment of the said species. The universal law of evolution, upon which the Prime Directive is based, regards this case as interference. So a coerced decision, even if it appears as free will, is not, I added. It only infringes the universal law and the Prime Directive if the coercion comes from an outside, off-world invasive interference, working for their own benefit, at the detriment of a lesser evolved Stage 1 or 2 culture. So this is new. We learn from experience, such is the course of the universe. When will this be implemented? Imminently. This has been discussed for a very long time before we made the decision. This is why you wanted to see me, so that I would pass on this information. So, situations such as what happened with the MJ-12 selling out humanity to the Nepu will not happen again anymore? You need to understand, she continued, that these 12 Terai, she said Terai instead of Terrans, men never sold the totality of their race to the Nepu. By law, they were not responsible for them all. This is not what the agreement was about. They sealed an agreement only to give away Humani, she was using, Ea Humania instead of Ea Humanza. They were lawfully responsible for the abduction and return of prisoners only. The Nepu tricked them and disrespected the agreement, taking instead millions of Terai to perform their hybridization plan. This is when we intervened and started fighting them out while teaching the Terai how to build a defense system. The Galactic Federation of Worlds has been chasing the Nepu since, and rescuing as much victims as we could. The Nepu have been breaking the Prime Directive since the signing of these agreements, which were flawed. The Nepu were never given the right to abduct more Terra Humani other than this small unit of prisoners. But as long as fear and oblivion were used against the millions of victims, it was working. Until very recently when we expelled them from this star system, we Kaldna TMT managed to stop it all even if we worked as hard as we could. We told the Terai that they needed to request our assistance at an individual level, because it immunized them from being taken into the Nepu programs. It saved many and helped us greatly in our work. You never let us down, I said with emotion. I knew that Valthor was smiling, behind my back. He was here not as the commander, but as the ambassador of Nara. I could feel his compelling energy field from meters away. So then, I continued, whatever decision the Terran people take, that is coerced by the Nebu, is not in resonance with the universal law of evolution. No, it isn't TMT, added the Osman lady. Henceforth, it does not give away any rights to the Nebu. One shall always decide with their heart and consciousness, never forced by fear or deception. Even if mistakes teach us how to discern better, when the will is free from any chains, then only it is called evolution. And this, added the Tengri elder, is what we are fighting for. Free will and balance, I concluded. A tremendous joy swelled in my heart and I saluted them in a gratitude as immense as the interstellar infinity. The holograms of the 25 members of the High Council started to disappear, and I turned back towards Valthor, who was smiling. I took a last deep breath, and followed him back to the teleport pad in the antechamber. The official text amended to #9, cited and explained above by the representative of the High Council of the Galactic Federation of Worlds, is this one. AO the free will of a Stage 1 or Stage 2 planetary culture works in accordance with the greater universal law of evolution, when not coerced or influenced by an outside source working for their own benefit to the detriment of the said lesser evolved culture. Manipulation of free will upon a lesser evolved culture is nullified regarding the greater universal law of evolution. It is in this case considered by the Prime Directive as interference. And the Galactic Federation of Worlds reserves the right to intervene. AO. Download the Prime Directive here, https://www.illanadan.org/shunderscore files/ugd/607c35_392db24b79f44451edv27c18df8d2b.pdf. Contact Walking Among US. I have been reticent to share this experience in order to preserve the privacy of this encounter, but regarding the current events it came to me that this would bring some clarity. On Tuesday, January 4, 2022, I had a tea with an extraterrestrial lady. Here is how it happened. In December 2019, I met a strange couple at a book launch held in my little town. Two tall blonde persons, a man and a woman, both strikingly beautiful, entered the room and made eye contact with me and sat in the public. Their aura was strikingly different than the others present, more vibrant and sizzling. I took my seat at the conference table and each time I lifted my eyes to look at the assembled audience, this couple was staring at me. It even made me feel uncomfortable, but I thought, you know, sometimes, people are just strange. After the conference, we as a group went to celebrate at a local pub and this couple invited themselves to come along. They introduced themselves as Americans who had just bought a house in the area and wanted to make new friends. After a couple of drinks, the lady, whose strange name was just one single letter, took me apart the whole evening to chat alone with me while her male companion entertained the others. I still felt an uneasiness. Her green eyes seemed to pierce through my thoughts. I could feel it. She quickly asked me, "Do you believe in aliens?" "Yes," I answered, disconcerted. Then she told me that she knew I was abducted as a child and now protected by good people. At the time, I was just dealing with my hypnosis memory retrieval and about to write my first book. I had no TMT gone public yet, at all. She asked me if I had told anybody yet about my experience, and I said I didn't TMT, but that I was considering writing about it. She insisted that I needed to put my story out there. Then, she went on repeating the same sentence, "AO know a lot, you have no idea, no idea." She told me that there were 13 densities in this universe, and an infinite number of other universes. I asked what she was doing as a job and she said that she and her husband were installing new and innovative technologies in rich people TMS houses in California. At that moment, her husband made eye contact with her and it was as if they had a telepathic exchange. She instantly stopped talking to me and they left, quite hurriedly. We exchanged phone numbers, but in my mind I categorized this encounter as with Scientologists or just weird Californians, and I soon forgot about them. The woman phoned me 2 years later. "Ayo, can we meet tomorrow please, just you and I? I need to speak to you." I was quite surprised. I asked Thorhan about this and he just replied, "Ayo, they are from Alpha Centauri, working with the Federation." I was baffled. Thorhan wouldn't TMT tell me more and, of course, I accepted the invitation. She turned up at my house and we went for tea at the terrace of a restaurant, as it was a nice sunny day outside. I looked at her from a whole new perspective. I am used to the company of extraterrestrials, so I was feeling comfortable, and rather relieved to finally know who she really was. I could easily recognize the specific connection with a being from another world. And I could tell that she knew I was aware of this. It was like being in the presence of a Pleiadian. They have social codes for telepathy and I straightly recognized it. This happened at a time when a vaccination pass was required to access restaurants. "I am not vaccinated, so I do not have such a pass." The lady said something strange, that she wasn't TMT vaccinated either, but she had a pass. With her mind, she blocked me from asking any questions. I know this way of doing with extraterrestrials. Some of them have the cognitive ability to distract you, for just a few seconds, with a brief brain fog. Our conversation lasted over 2 hours. At first we spoke about me and my alien experiences. She asked me a lot of questions. When I looked into her eyes, they were changing. They are green, but at times, there was a glimpse of bright blue, just like Thorhana TMSI's color, and they looked slightly wider. Although, she could totally pass for a Scandinavian person. Then, she got to the real subject and I was surprised at her question. She asked me what internet provider I had and she strongly advised me to change over to Starlink. She said Starlink was going to become very big and take over nearly every communication systems in the near future, noting that Elon Musk had invested a lot recently in developing lower orbit relay technologies. She kept on talking about Musk, saying that he was going to become very important in the near future, for the greater good of humanity. She seemed slightly stressed and she was constantly throwing quick looks around her as if we were observed. I tried to reconstruct our conversation. "Him and I are from the same place," she said. "I know Elon Musk has business off-world and regular extraterrestrial contacts. Is that true?" "Yes, you know a lot, I see. Was he part on some meetings on Jupiter in July?" I asked. "Yes. He goes in space a lot. He is very involved in space. Elon Musk is meant to accomplish great things for humanity." It was plain. "Elon Musk is the future and I may repeat it to you, do not lose time, go with Starlink now." "When you say you are from the same place, what place are you talking about?" "We were living near LA before buying a house here, but I still travel a lot." "What were you doing there, as a job?" "I remember you said you were installing new technologies in people's TMS homes. For which company was it?" "We had our own private company. We are high-grade engineers. It was a new technology, very advanced, having to do with connectivity. A kind of Wi-Fi if you want, but based on quantum technology relayed to lower orbit connectivity. That a TMS all I can say. We left because we lost everything." "I am sorry to hear this. So it's our TMS why you left California. How did this happen?"
"Our house burnt down. They burnt a whole town. Many of us died."
"Can you speak openly about your origins?"
"My people are not originally from California. My family arrived first, a long time ago, in—" She bent forward and stared into my eyes, to say, "Ayo, Hawaii." I sensed there was a lot to understand in that, as her eyes were so insisting. Then, she added, "I cannot speak here. I am leaving in 2 weeks, so come to my place next week and I will tell you my story."
She stood up and went inside to pay the bill, and gave me a long warm hug before we parted. It was like hugging a family member. Her aura was so beautiful and her frequency vibrantly high.
Straight after, I fell severely ill and was not yet able to meet her again. She was disappointed, but in our exchange by text message, she promised to meet me again. What I retained from this conversation was that extraterrestrials from Alpha Centauri were openly walking and living among us, developing advanced connectivity technologies, and working somehow with Elon Musk at EMS Starlink project. This last point is the reason why I decided to share this experience only now. I hope it will bring some understanding to what is going on with Elon Musk and the agenda from the deep state to assassinate his character, and stop him from participating in the co-creation of a better future, where the human race of Earth would be sovereign and free. When I related my encounter to my doctor Michael Saller, he informed me about the 2018 devastating fires of a town named Deo Paradisi. Whistleblowers, in particular David Wilcox, revealed that these fires were of criminal origin using geo-energy weapons, confirmed by several testimonies including firemen, and that a community of AO Centaurians or extraterrestrials lived there secretly and worked at developing highly advanced connectivity technologies. My encounter with the Celosi, Alpha Centaurian, lady occurred on January 4, 2022. A month later on February 8, 2022, 40 Starlink satellites were shot down by the deep state. I most highly recommend reading the excellent article from Dr. Saller on February 18, 2022 on his exopolitics.org website, AO Were Starlink Satellites Destroyed to Prevent Emergence of Quantum Communications? A, where he studies in great details the correlative information from my Alpha Centaurian friend with the Paradise fires, as well as the Starlink satellites incident. First contact. Step 1. We are not alone. Following to the arrival of the Guardian races from the Intergalactic Confederation into our star system in October 2021, a coordinated plan was agreed upon between the Galactic Federation of Worlds and the Earth Alliance, for the most important disclosure of all time. Our extraterrestrial allies are in charge to show themselves more and more in our skies, along with retro-engineered ships that are part of the Earth's secret space programs. The Earth Alliance also plans to disclose classified files that have been retained hidden away from the people by the deep state for a very long time. July 2022 will mark a turning point in the consciousness of humanity of Earth, when the James Webb Telescope may provide evidence of exolife signatures. We have been made aware, carefully and progressively, of the existence of several exoplanets in our neighboring star systems, but NASA TMS new telescope ETMS revolutionary infrared technology will make the extra step toward a new era for humanity. It will anchor a door into the collective unconscious of our species on Earth, which will change us forever. As many of you are thinking by now, NASA knows more than they officially reveal. Nonetheless, they dropped recently some clues about preparing for fundamental sociological changes, such as hiring theologians to prepare humanity for evidence of extraterrestrial life and even contact. Step 2, first civilian contact with other humans. Depending on our ability to process Step 1 disclosure, this will lay the groundwork for the people of the Centauri systems, notably the Celo and Meton, to become the first delegation to publicly make civilian contact on Earth, on behalf of the Galactic Federation of Worlds. The Centaurians were chosen not only because they have been involved in the first encounters with President Eisenhower, and in the introduction of new technologies and defense systems since the 1950s with the U.S. Navy, such as the creation of the Solar Warden program, and other progressive cells in our governments, but also because they look exactly like us. Alpha Centaurians have been living among us for a very long time, infiltrating in our societies all over the world. Pleiadian Tal and Tau Ceteans will also be part of this first group. Hence, this type of first public contact will not be overly traumatic for the masses and will occur as a great yet peaceful step toward Earth at EMS acceptance of other galactic cultures. Progressively, other human races who carry physiological differences such as the Wolf 424 Amites, High Forehead, the Pleiadian Hill, Wide Rise, and Nor-Or, 9 ft tall, the Altines from the Intergalactic Confederation, 3 feet tall and longer arms, the Epsilon Eridani Kale, different bone structure, will present themselves to us.